So, according to Venerable Anālaya, Vajragatha Sutta, the great discourse of Vajragatha describes how the wanderer Vajragatha decided to go forth and finally become an arahant. This discourse has two Chinese parallels, both found in the existing versions of the Sangyukta Agama, which is, so these are the two versions. SA 964, SA 2198. So, just for your interest, and I'm sure you're fascinated by these little details, but the SA is Sangyukta Agama. Now, when you're looking at references, be careful because Bhikkhu Bodhi and other people often use SA or MA or something like that to mean Majjhima Attakata, which is the Majjhima commentary, or Digha Attakata, and so on. So it sounds like the same, but it's quite different. So this is SA as in Sangyukta Agama, not an Attakata commentary, an Agama. SA 2, so this is Taisho Sutra number 99, this is Taisho Sutra number 100. SA 2, and SA 2 is the smaller Sangyukta Agama. Actually, there's two smaller ones, SA 2 and then SA 3, which is much smaller again. And this only contains certainly less than a quarter of the whole number of suttas of the whole Sangyukta. So these numbers here are simply the sutra number, just counting from one up. Okay, so you can see in the Sangyukta Agama, then you've got already 964. There's actually more than 1,000 something suttas altogether. The Sangyukta, say it's a shorter one, I can't remember how many, but much less. These numbers over here is the Taisho.
Do you want me to get
them? Yeah, if you want to get the Taisho volumes, you can.
What numbers are
they? Taisho 2, yeah, just get the first two volumes of the Taisho, if you want. So these are the Taisho volume and page numbers. Now, Taisho is the name of a university in Japan, which is where they made this particular edition of Chinese canon. And this was the first modern edition of the Chinese canon, completed in the 1920s, I think. And it was a group of Japanese scholars who had been to Germany and studied with Max Müller in Germany. And so they'd sort of got a whole sort of bunch of Western ideas about how to do things, like putting in footnotes and variant readings and comparing things with the Pali and so on. So in the suttas here, just looking at it now, it has notes at the bottom comparing to particular suttas in the Pali canon and Pali terminology and things like that, as well as all the footnotes for variant readings. So this is that whole collection we have there is the whole Taisho Tripitaka, which is the standard scholarly reference for the Chinese canon. And the Sibeta one, which is one we usually use digitally, is a digital version of that same thing. So Taisho 2, the second volume we have there, contains the Sangyukta and Ekotara, which is the equivalent to the Pali Sangyutta Nikaya and Anguttara Agama. So that's Taisho 2. And this is the page number in that volume. Okay, so that's what that's referring to. What this doesn't have here, which probably should have, but doesn't have, is the sutra number, which is the Taisho references refer to the volume. So here's Taisho 2, and then the sutra, which is in this case 100, in this case 99, and then the page,
and the paragraph,
page line, and column number,
per page, something
like that. Yeah. The sutra numbers.
Yeah,
I just know them. Yeah, no, they should probably be up there. Actually, I'm not sure why they're not. The word sutra, when we use it for the Taisho, is a translation of the Chinese word jing, which just means scripture, really. And actually, the sutra, a sutra can be many different kinds of things. It just means one text, okay? So a sutra can be a sutra, okay? So it can be just one sutta, which might be equivalent to one sutra in the Pali. But also, for example, this one, Sangyukta Agama, that's one sutra as well. So Taisho 99 is one sutra, but it's actually more than 1,000 suttas in this. And so it's just a sutra number, just means one particular text in the Taisho canon, that's all. It doesn't mean actual sutra. Alrighty, so that's what we're referring to here. And so that what we've done on Sutta Central. So this is our little Sutta Central thingy widget, and there you can go over to the Chinese. See here, it says Sutra number 99, just to prove that I wasn't lying. Didn't seem to be loading up properly. There you go. So this is, there's the Chinese there. Boom. And not sure if there are any, but I'll just put them back here because this is such a cool and groovy website. Look at that. Corresponding sutras and look at that.
German languages.
German translation. Here we go. Ram. Mm-hmm. There you go. Das hab ich gehocht. Ja, hör. There you go, there's the German term. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? So, here's the Pali. Alrighty, hi. So, when were we? Okay. Two Chinese parallels. Mahambhata Gotta Sutta begins with the wanderer Vajragata approaching the Buddha and requesting a teaching in brief on what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. In reply, the Buddha expounded the three roots of wholesomeness and of unwholesomeness and the 10 courses of action. The two Sanyukta Agama versions report the Buddha's exposition in similar terms, however they differ in some extent in the narration of what took place beforehand. So again, just to notice that, point out time and time again that the teachings are the same, but the narrative background and framework of it might differ between the different versions, and we'll have a look at that in the differences in just a moment. But first of all, let's just read a bit of the sutta. So any questions before we go on? On one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Rajagaha in the bamboo grove in the squirrel's sanctuary, and then Vajragata, the wanderer, approached where the Blessed One was. Having approached the Blessed One, together exchanged cordial greetings, said, "G'day, mate," and so on, and then, having done this, he sat down on one side. Sitting down on one side, Vajragata, the wanderer, said to the Blessed One, "For a long time, good Gotama, I have had conversation with the good Gotama." Okay, so sahakati, together conversing. "It would be good if the good Gotama would teach me what is skillful and unskillful in brief. Okay? So this is kind of an interesting difference to his speculative style, yeah? Instead of coming and asking all these sorts of things about the nature of the universe and so on and so forth, he's saying, "Well, teach me, how do I live in a skillful way?" And the Buddha's reply was, "Well, Watcher, I can teach thee what's good, what's skillful and unskillful in brief, sankhitta." Literally, kitta means thrown or tossed, sung together, tossed together. "Or I can teach in vitara, stretched out, I can teach. But I will teach you in brief. Pay attention to that, and I'm going to speak." So, that's what he did. So, of course, the word kusala, we often translate as wholesome, and like wheat bix or something like that, but the literal meaning of it is skillful. Okay, so it's used in the sense of, like, for example, a skillful carpenter, yeah, would be regarded as kusala. So we could say Patrick is a skillful worker. Okay, watch it. Greed is unwholesome. Non-greed is wholesome. Hatred is unwholesome. Non-hatred is wholesome. Delusion is unwholesome. Non-delusion is wholesome. Therefore, watcha, these three dhammas are unwholesome and three dhammas are wholesome. Okay, so starting out with the three roots of wholesome and unwholesome action. Killing is unwholesome. Refraining from killing is wholesome. Stealing is unwholesome. Refraining from stealing is wholesome. Sexual misconduct, false speech, and then the other kinds of wrong speech, divisive speech, what is it like?
Harsh speech.
Harsh speech, parasavacha, harsh speech. And gossip is unwholesome. Refraining from gossip is wholesome. Covetousness is unwholesome. And non-covetousness is wholesome. So here this word abhijja can mean just the same thing as greed or desire in a very general sense, but actually here it has a kind of stronger sense, and it's sometimes defined as like longing for to possess the belongings of others. So that's why we translate it as covetousness. So it's more like a kind of a strong or excessive greed here in this particular context. Remembering that this is kind of a basic ethical context, not like a deep wisdom context. Anger is unwholesome, non-anger is wholesome, wrong views are unwholesome and right views are wholesome. And so again, along those same lines, so this is like the wisdom factor here, but it's not talking about necessarily deep wisdom and insight, but just having a good understanding of it. 10 dhammas are unwholesome, 10 dhammas are wholesome. Now, when Vacha Bhikkhu has abandoned craving, has cut it off at root, made it like a palm tree stump, so that it's not going to, it's non-existent and not subject to a rise in the future. Thus, so that bhikkhu is an arahant who has ended the defilements, who has finished, has done what needs to be done, laid down the burden, and attained his own goal. And with the complete ending of all fetters of existence, is rightly freed through final knowledge. Okay? So, not necessarily a whole lot of connection between those two paragraphs, is there? So it just starts with the 10 pathways of wholesome action, and then straight on goes to talk about the arahant, abandoning of craving. It's a bit abrupt. Yeah. Anyway, well, let that be. Diet tatu bhavang gautamo. So we learnt in our Pali classes this is the root ta. So this is a imperative desiderative reduplication. Third person singular imperative desiderative reduplication of the root ta, which I'm sure you all recognise straight away. Having the entirely idiomatic meaning of, okay, don't worry about that. Okay, so tatu means literally means something like make it stand aside or something like that. Have it stand to one side. In other words, let it be. Don't worry about that. Might been lie, or as they say in Australia these days, whatever. Whatever. Okay, but is there ati? Is there, good Gotama, one bhikkhu, even one? Bi means even so much as one bhikkhu, who's a disciple who, with the destruction, due to the destruction, ablative case of defilements, asuras, with the without defilement, the release of heart, released by wisdom in this very life, the Atheva Dhamme, realizes with their own direct knowledge, having realized with their own direct knowledge, or having witnessed with their own direct knowledge, enters and abides in that. No, Vachagata. He says, no. What does that mean? He says, no, ko vacha. Not just 100, not 200, not 300, not 400, and not even 500, but even far more bhikkhus who are my disciples have realized arahantship. So what you've got to say is, well, don't worry about the bhikkhus. Ati, is there even one bhikkhuni who's a savika who's realized arahantship? Not just 100 or 200 or 300 or 400 or even 500, but many more bhikkhunis who are my disciples have realized arahantship. Well, just don't worry about the bhikkhus and the bhikkhunis. What about the upasakas who are lay people wearing white, living the holy life. So that means like the brahmachari, so like our anagarikas, yeah, who have realized, who with the abandoning of the five lower fetters, or ambhagyang sanyojanana,
with the...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so this is one of the passages that sort of implies that it doesn't actually say that you can't be a lay arahant, but it certainly suggests that it wasn't on the, wasn't a talking point. Yeah. Who abandoned the five lower fetters, upapatika, have spontaneously re-arisen, and there will attain parinibbana, final nibbana, without being subject to returning from that world. Not 100, not 200, not 300, not 400, 500, but many more of my lay disciples in white have abandoned the five lower fetters and become anagamis, non-return. So what's your excuse then? Why are you laughing? Okay, moving right along. Okay, leave aside the upasakas. What about the upasikas? Okay, upasaka. Okay, eka upasaka. Upasaka. Oh no, the next one he talks about is the upasakas who are okay, so the next category he talks about is the upasakas who are disciples, who are lay people, who are wearing white, who are karma bhogis. Karma bhogis. Enjoyers of sensual pleasures. So basically it means living a married life. Sasanakaro, who are who literally do the sasana. Yeah? In other words, they do the appropriate work or live appropriately according to the sasana. Who respond to exhortation, who have abandoned doubt, have overcome hesitation, and attained to intrepidity, basically means certainty or confidence, and who are not dependent on another, apara pachayo. Okay, apara, so pachaya is a condition, para is another. Not dependent on another, in other words, independent. Satusasane in the Buddhist dispensation. So, of course, this is a standard description of the stream mantra. Yeah? They've seen the Dharma for themselves, so they don't need to depend on another. There's what, not even 100 or 200 or 300 or 400 or 500, but many more of my disciples who are laymen who living in the home life who are stream enterers. Okay, he says, well, don't worry about the bhikkhus, don't worry about the bhikkhunis, don't worry about the laymen. What about lay women? Are any of them wearing white and have attained to anagami? He says, not even up to 500, but many more. And what about the lay women who living in the home? Are any of them stream enterers? He says, not 500, but many more. Okay? So.
I
think
he's following a bit more of a
largish field. Well, largish field, yeah, if you add all those ones up, how many categories, you have six categories or something, 500 each, 3,000. So, well, you know, the numbers here are still reasonable, yeah? If you've got a well-established religious figure, it's certainly not at all implausible that they could have, you know, several thousand disciples. In the Mahapadana Sutra, it says that Vipassi Bodhisattva in the past, Buddha years, had, I think, 6 million, something like that, arahant disciples. Which would be pretty impressive, I've got to admit, yeah? No, it has bhikkhus and bhikkhuni arahants. With the other ones, it asks, can the lay people in white, can they have any of them become anagamis? Okay, non-returners. But it doesn't ask whether they can become arahants or not. So in a sense, it seems to assume that they can't, but it doesn't actually say anything definitive about that. So this is one of the texts that's relevant. There's, of course, that's ongoing discussion about that, whether the Pali Canon then lay people can become arahants or not. But this is one of the texts that's relevant for that discussion. Mm. but doesn't really decide it, but it certainly seems to assume that. And I don't think Analia has a note on that particular point, so that would tend to suggest that it's probably similar in the Chinese version. If there were bhikkhus who were aradhako, what does that mean? Energetic or dedicated, what does it mean? Accomplished. Aradhako. Oops, accomplished. Oh, sorry, if it was just Gotama, Bhavan Yeva Gotamo, okay, if it was just Mr. Gotama who was accomplished, but no bhikkhus, then this brahmacharya would be incomplete by that factor. Okay, but in as much as both good Gotama is accomplished and the bhikkhus are accomplished, then this brahmacharya, this holy life, is complete in that factor. But if Venerable Gotama, Mr. Gotama was complete, was accomplished, and the bhikkhus were accomplished, but the bhikkhunis were not accomplished, then this holy life would be incomplete by that factor. Okay?
So that would be incomplete?
Yeah, we should. So this, of course, is one of the many passages referring to the bhikkhunis as a very essential part of the sasana. And if the good Gotama and the bhikkhus and bhikkhunis and laymen and it goes through the whole lot, and saying if any of them were missing, then the Buddhism or the Brahmacharya would be incomplete according to that factor. Okay? And then finishes with the simile, just as the river Ganges inclines towards the sea, slopes towards the sea, flows towards the sea, and reaches the sea, so too Master Gotama's assembly, with its homeless ones and its householders, inclines towards Nibbana, slopes towards Nibbana, flows towards Nibbana, and reaches Nibbana.
Yeah, catch-all term for like a sasana as well.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Even celibacy, yeah, it's broader than that. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it seems like they use words like sasana, brahmacharya, sadhama, used more or less interchangeably. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if there's more specifics.
So that's the best life.
Yeah.
The best life.
Yeah.
Alright. So the Nibbana is open to everyone.
Yep. There's such a jump in the water. So, that's that. Now let's just pop back. So then Vajra Gotama says, magnificent Master Gotama, magnificent Master Gotama. Master Gotama has made the Dhamma clear in many ways, as though turning upright what had been overthrown, and so on and so forth. Stock phrase. And he goes to refuge to the Bhavantang Gotama. Still calling him Bhavan Gotama, Saranang Gacchami, Dhammancha, to the Dhammas and the Bhikkhu Sangha. That's interesting, he's still calling him Gotama here, even though this must be an editorial slip, really. Normally when they get converted, they straight away start calling him Bhagawa rather than the Mr. Gotama. I would take the going forth under Mr. Gotama. I'll gain the full ordination. Well, Vajra, anyone who's been a follower of another sect, Anyatitya Pubbo, okay, so Pubba is before, Titta is literally, is from the root from a ford, okay, not as in a ford falcon, but as in a ford where a place you cross over the river, okay, so a Tittakara is somebody who makes a ford, in other words, he creates a place where other people can cross over, so he's a founder of a religion. So a titya is one who's following another religion. So someone who's been a follower of another religion and wishes to take the going forth in this religion and full ordination. So again, notice that, as I mentioned many times, that typically Pabbaja and Upasampada are basically synonyms, has to go on probation for 4 months. And after 4 months of probation, if the bhikkhus wish, aradhacitta, Then I can give the going forth and forward nation into the state of a bhikkhu. But apija metta, api, but, and me is me, etta, here, herein, pugala, individual, we maktata, discrimination. Okay, so I show discrimination and bias between individuals in this matter. In other words, he may. Okay, sate bante. If verse 1, you have to wait for 4 months. And then going forth, I will wait for 4 years. Standard response in the Pali text. We'll have a look at that. Yeah, he did say Bhante there, yeah. That's good. Thanks for that pointing that out. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of an editing gloopy there. Okay, then typically he says you've got to wait for 4 months, and they say, well, I'll wait for 4 years, and then it just says straight away, and then he got the going forth and the full ordination. So it's not quite sure whether that means they got it straight away or not, but it certainly seems to be the impression.
But the discrimination thing,
yeah, it's a special allowance. Anyway, okay. Let's just have a look at the few... Sorry, Eva?
Would full admission mean that he wasn't made a novice first? He just became...
Yeah, usually they just take bhikkhu ordination. Yep. Mm-hmm. So notice here, variation in regard to the title and count of the Burmese edition, which is entitled Mahavacca Sutta, and of course the one we're reading now has exactly that title. So this is the so-called World Tripitaka, which is actually just the Burmese edition. Oh, it's called the World Tripitaka. Yeah, and it's based on, or the story behind it is it's done by a Thai group who the man behind the group, the founder of a fellow called Major Suratat, his mother was the personal attendant of the Thai Queen at the Second Council. He's getting on a bit now, at the Sixth Council in Burma. And her dream was always to sponsor a printed edition of the text that was redacted at that council. So finally they got round to doing that. And when they did that, they basically wanted to get Goenka's text and reprint that, because that's supposed to be the Sixth Council edition. But when they started getting it and going through it, they realized that there's a lot of mistakes. Actually, they counted about 40,000 or 50,000 mistakes in the existing text. Most of them, of course, small spelling mistakes and punctuation and things like that. And in the process of doing that, they found out, or they claimed that the Goenka text, which is the one that's mostly used these days, and other texts, are not actually based on the Sixth Council edition at all, but they're actually based on the old Burmese edition. And so they say that what happened was that after the Sixth Council, it was in the 1950s, they published the Sixth Council edition, which was the first edition, and then about 1961 they had all these political troubles in Burma, and then after that the second edition came out, and for some reason they've got it mixed up, and it was just the old Burmese edition again. And every subsequent edition's been based on that. So now what they've done is they've now gone back and worked again. Their basic text is the first edition of the Sixth Council, and so they've gone that and they've very thoroughly proofread that. They've proofread it the whole Tripitaka three times reading and three times chanting in a group. So they've done a very thorough job, and I have to admit that the text is extremely well constituted. I've only found one spelling mistake or punctuation mistake so far. There's one retroflex letter missing. And that's after, like, when we were in Bodh Gaya, we were chanting through, you know, many, many suttas. So it's certainly a very good job, but what they've done in the printed edition, which we have, this is the ones we got in Bodh Gaya, is that they've collected all of the variant readings from like 12 or so printed editions. So it's very thorough in that way and extremely well documented. This website version doesn't have those variant readings and so on. But one of the things with it is that it's just, it is basically the Burmese text. And one of the reasons for that is because, not necessarily the fault of the Dhamma Society who's done this, but the actual Sixth Council, from what I've heard about what happened at the Sixth Council, is that it was supposed to be like all the Theravadan groups getting together and working out an authoritative version of the text, but in fact the Burmese just ran the show, and the Thais sort of went in one corner and did their thing, and the Sri Lankans went in one corner and did their thing, and it wasn't really a kind of a thoroughly sort of jointly edited thing. So
the Burmese did their own agendas.
Yeah, so it was pretty much what they redacted, pretty much a version. So, and that's quite obvious. Anyone, if you know Pali, all the spellings and things like that are all Burmese.
The long I in Virya.
Virya, yeah, long is corrected with a long I, and so. Anyway, wait, bit of a digression there. Okay, here we go. Blah blah blah. Now, Vachagota in the Pali version says, "Please teach me what's good and what's bad in brief." Now, in the Chinese versions, the Buddha was the one who introduces the idea of teaching in brief. Okay, and Analia suggested that may be more plausible because, after all, you've been bothered by Vachagota on more than 60 occasions already, trying to follow him off with a nice short teaching. However that may be, a little bit, slightly more interesting thing is this little detail that Analia has unearthed. The Pali commentary devotes some space to discussing the nature of brief and detailed expositions, explaining that the seven works of the Abhidhamma should also be considered as teachings in brief. Satipakarane Abhidhamma Pitake Sabang Sakitang Eva. Now that's curious enough.
In brief, seven books.
Seven books containing several hundreds of billions of questions. But nevertheless,
is it one, exciting?
Yeah, well, this is not Vachagota at the moment, this is the commentary.
Sorry.
So he's but maybe you're quite right, maybe he was the precursor to the Abhidhamma.
That's a good question.
That's possible. Now, as an explanation of the Buddha's reference to an exposition in brief, this kind of material gloss would be an anachronism, and a bit absurd as well, since the seven works of the Abhidhamma came into existence later than the discourses. Fair enough. What makes this remark interesting, however, is that the two Sanyukta Agama versions also refer to the Abhidhamma. This reference comes as part of their description of what went on in the Buddha's mind before he allowed Vachagota to put his question. According to them, the Buddha decided to use the Abhidhamma and the Vinaya to listen to Vachagota's question. I will now appropriately use Abhidhamma and Vinaya to accept and receive that question. And then essay two, I will listen according to Abhidhamma and Vinaya to that question. Very.
That's pretty obscure.
That's very obscure, yeah.
Why would the Buddha make any question?
And especially he's given a very simple question, yeah? What's skillful and unskillful? It's not like he's going to be stumped by that one. This specification is puzzling, since the Abhidhamma does not seem to bear any relation to how the Buddha then addressed Vachagota's question. A rather simple description of the three roots and 10 causes of action would not merit being considered as Abhidhammic in nature, or else one would have to use such a qualification for almost all of the Buddha's discourses. Moreover, it's not clear how the mere listening to a question would qualify as being in accordance with Abhidhamma. Fair enough. The curious specification found in the two Sanyukta Agama versions could, however, indicate that a remark on the Abhidhamma, possibly as representative of teachings in brief, may have formed part of an ancient Indian commentary on this discourse, similar to the remark now found in the Pali commentary. Such an ancient Indian commentary would have come down during the process of oral tradition together with the discourse to which it belongs, since in an oral setting one would expect both to be recited together. With the discourse, probably fidelity?
Yeah.
Fidelity. It's fidelity. It's just squished together.
Squished.
Yeah. No. Okay, it seems quite feasible that due to the natural fluctuation inherent in an oral tradition, part of the commentary may have made its way into the discourse itself. If this should be true, it would explain why the two Samyukta Agama versions, or more probably the Indian originals on which the Samyukta Agama translations were based, bring in the topic of the Abhidhamma in a way which is not only anachronistic, but also does not seem to make much sense within the context of their presentation. So, interesting little idea there. So just to summarise the idea, we have three versions. Two of them mention the word Abhidhamma in a kind of strange way in the discourse. The third version doesn't mention it in the discourse, but it mentions it in the commentary. And of course, the curious thing is that these are textual traditions. One of them is from Kashmir, and one of them is from Sri Lanka, right? And so somehow they've preserved a remark about Abhidhamma in each
place.
And so possibly a hangover from some kind of old Indian commentarial tradition, which has got kind of garbled and passed down there in some way. Right, even though it doesn't really make sense in either context. Okay, so both of them have what they say is what you've got to use the example of how the water fallen during great rain will flow towards the sea to illustrate how the disciples of the Buddha advance towards Nibbana. Okay. Disciples advance due to receiving the rain of the Buddha's teaching. Okay, so in all of them, Ottagata requested to ordain, and the Buddha explained the practice of having a probation period of 4 months. Okay, nevertheless, all three versions agree that he was admitted quickly. Okay, so now we've caught up with where we are in the sutta itself. It is blah blah. Okay, bottom of page 599, turning over to page 600. Not long after Wachagata had gained the full ordination, half a month he's fully ordained, he approached the Blessed One and paid homage and sat down at one side. Having approached the Blessed One, paid homage and sat down at one side, he said, "So the Blessed One, as far as Bhante, the knowledge of a trainee, so that means stream enter, once returner or non-returner, the realization of a trainee is to be obtained. I have attained that. Now, please teach me some more Dhamma." Yeah. Now, well then, watch. Further develop two Dhammas. Dwe Dhamme Uttari Bhaveti. Bhavehi. Samatancha Vipassanancha. Samatha and Vipassana. The same thing. He says develop them further, yeah? Samatancha vipassanancha. When you develop these... Anyway, when you further develop these things, then you can penetrate to aneka dhatu, to many aneka, not one, literally, not one element or principle or property. In other words, it's basically kind of an idiom in the suttas. It means you can realize all kinds of cool stuff. All right? Okay. So, and interesting, and it goes on to talk about the development of the six higher knowledges, but interesting that these are said to be the outcome of samatha and vipassana here, and not just of samatha alone. So, let's just go back to Analia's little vignette. Blah, 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 blah. Three versions agree, and the Buddha instructs him what to go to train himself in tranquility and insight. According to the Pali version, the Buddha then describes the six supernormal knowledges as possible fruits of training in tranquility and insight. Samyukta Agama versions, however, begin their respective descriptions of the range of benefits to be reached by developing tranquility and insight with the four jhanas, followed by the four Brahma viharas, the four immaterial attainments, and the three lower stages of realization before mentioning the same six supernormal knowledges. Okay, so they all have the six abhinya, but the Chinese versions have all of these other things in there beforehand. Your comments, though tranquility and insight will certainly lead to this whole range of benefits, the presentation found in the two Samyukta Agama versions includes, among others, the attainment of stream entry, once return and non-return, yet judging from the description given by all versions of Wachagata's development at this point, one would think that he must have been a stream entry, if not more, because he says he's endowed with the knowledge of a trainee. This suggests the Pali version's list of benefits to be the more fitting presentation in the present context. Does seem a bit OTT to be mentioning all of those things there. Anyway,
Isn't it normally the case that the Chinese versions are more condensed? And, or is it,
not necessarily, no. No. I mean, for example, the fact that they have, certainly in the Majjhima Agama, typically where the Pali has four jhanas and four arupas, Majjhima Agama usually has the same as here, four jhanas, four brahmaviharas and four arupas.
Isn't that the emphasis of the school?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Could be, yeah. And it's hard to say, is that an actual doctrinal difference or is it just a redactor's choice?
In the English version, it doesn't mention jhanas or any of these things you've been talking about.
Yeah, just the six higher knowledges, yeah?
No, it doesn't say that either.
Here we go.
It's really quite different. Verse 19.
Yeah, and it starts out with the development of iddhis, supernormal power. That's the first of the six higher knowledges. And then to the next
one. Six higher knowledges doesn't mention that.
Six high knowledge is just a word, Eva.
Are these the knowledges?
Those are the knowledges, yeah. Chala binya.
Vanish and not vanish.
That's one, that's the first one, yeah.
Unhindered through a wall.
Yeah.
That's a knowledge.
That's a knowledge, yeah.
Well, why doesn't it say these are knowledges? Why doesn't it say that? Through an enclosure, through a mountain, through space. May I dive in and out of the earth?
Yeah, it does in many places, but it just doesn't happen to use that word to describe them in this place, that's all.
Well, I think that's very odd. If these are knowledges.
Yeah. I understand your point to understand that you know, to think of psychic powers of being able to fly through the air and things, to call that a knowledge is kind of interesting, yeah? And a bit unusual, so that I get that point. But the fact that it's just a recognized set which you call the six higher knowledges, okay? And so that's just what we call them, and they occur, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. They don't necessarily call themselves that every time. Just like if Eva walks through the door, we say Eva's walked through the door, but you don't necessarily have a sign on you saying I am Eva, okay? But we know that you're Eva because that's what you are. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a knowledge walking through a door.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. Why it's called a knowledge?
Some of the others are knowledges.
Some of the others are certainly more
knowledgeable. Like if you're able to see beings arise and pass away according to their karma, or things like that.
That's obviously knowledge,
isn't it?
And the divine ear and so on. I think most of the other ones are.
Sitting cross-legged, travelling in space like a bird. It's hardly
enough. Yeah, I mean, I can do that on a 737.
That's the first time I question.
Well, what about reading other people's minds here? 21, that's kind of like a knowledge.
Yep.
Well, is there more?
Well, imagine all the knowledges
there
you'd get then.
Sorry?
The Pali word, is that correctly translated?
Pali word, not really, no. Chala binya, the root is nya, which is always knowledge. Yeah.
With my hand, may I touch and stroke the moon and sun? Well, it's all very nice.
But more of a, we think of it as a power rather than a knowledge, yeah?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Or an oddity.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what we call the six higher knowledges, chala vinya. Okay?
Alright.
It's just a label. It's just a label, alright? One of the points about these things as a group, so forgetting a few individual quirks there, but the fact that the group is called a knowledge means that it's aligned or it's on the side of vipassana. And so remember he said, develop samatha and vipassana. Okay, so these are a part of what we think of as vipassana.
There's more than six.
There's six, precisely.
No. So, for instance, you would use number 22, the paragraph number 22. You recollect your past lives, right? You use that. You can use that for your vipassana meditation because you understand the nature.
Yeah, and you see impermanence. Not self. Yeah. The dukkha of all your past lives. Each paragraph, Eva, is one set. So it's not each individual item adds up to six, but each set.
So the whole
set.
Thing's up to scratch, isn't it?
No, the
no,
whole thing.
Means what it's
the whole means. Thing is very, very well organized, extremely clear, and well understood. Paragraph 19 is the wielding of various kinds of psychic powers. So this is the first of the higher knowledges. Okay? That's no, the second one is paragraph 20, the divine ear. Okay, hearing close and far sounds. 21 is being able to read minds. That's number 3. 22 is being able to recollect past lives. 23 is the divine eye, clairvoyance. No,
in my manifold past lives.
My manifold past lives.
And the next one, may I have the divine eye which purifies the past human, see beings pass away and reappear, so you see others.
Yep. And then 24 is Arahantship. Right? So that's 6.
But the interesting the point is that the Chinese actually keep the Samatha and Vipassana in the Pali, they haven't, right? Because the Chinese mentions the four jhanas and the four Brahma Viharas.
Oh yeah.
And then this one mentions
just the Abhinya
sides, right?
Yeah.
So the Chinese is correct.
Maybe.
In this case.
Maybe it certainly has that balance, yeah.
Because if you say, well, you need to develop Samatha and Vipassana, you only talk about Vipassana.
Yeah.
And then if the Chinese mentions both, then
yep.
You can say that one would be more correct.
Yep. Certainly more balanced. All right.
It's very interesting. Four jhanas and four Brahma Viharas.
Why is that interesting?
Yeah. It's a different way of putting it.
Yeah.
It has a more softer feel.
Yeah. So if you want to...
If he rose from his seat, he'd think he'd fly away after all this has been given to him.
You'd think he would. He's obviously being humble. But if you want to have a look at the detailed classical exposition of how to develop all these powers, then have a look in the Visuddhimagga. It's got these great stories and examples of how to develop these different kinds of psychic powers and so on.
Just ask the Buddha. It's
not around much these days,
either. Anyway.
Well, neither is this.
Okay. Moving right along. Okay, so the different kinds of Ayurveda Dibba Sota Parasata Tirasa Prichnana Ubinivasa Nusatinyana.
When I read verse 25 on, I thought, oh, good on you, that's your brother. Well done. I thought I liked him.
Hmm. Well, he's persistent.
He got there in the end.
Well,
even after all those annoying questions, he got there.
Okay. Then, Vajragotta, having delighted in the Blessed One's words, got up from his seat and went away. And Vajragotta, echo, alone, Vupagatto, withdrawn. Appamato, diligent, ardent, bahitato, resolent, abiding, nativaseva, and then this very complicated sentence that you can't just try to capture in English. But anyway, he got it.
He got it.
All right. He became an arahant. And then there were many bhikkhus going to see the Blessed One. The Venerable Vajragotta saw them coming in the distance. Seeing them, he said to them, where are the Venerable Ones going? And they said, we're going to see the Blessed One. Then, Venerable Sirs, in my name, please pay respects at the Blessed One's, with your head at the Blessed One's feet. So, Bhagavato Pade Sirasa Vandatha. So, with the head at the feet of the Blessed One. Vajragotta. And say this, Vajragotta Bhante Bhikkhu place bows with his head at the Blessed One's feet, and he says, the Blessed One has been worshipped by me, the Sublime One has been worshipped by me. Paritirna, a bit of an unusual word here. Paritirna?
Has worship come out of that?
Not sure.
The
very Jinrā.
Is it all around?
Completely Jinrā. Yeah, Jinrās seem to be from conduct, so conducted, completely conducted. Something like that.
That's
where it's I've done everything that the Blessed One asked me to do. Something like that. Yeah.
Fully done, we'll say.
Yeah. And well done, like a steak. And he said, okay. So they went to the Blessed One and they bowed and said and gave him the message. And the Buddha said, well, I had already, Pubeva had already read his mind with my mind and realized that Vatagata the Bhikkhu had realized the three knowledges. Tevijja was of great psychic power and great majesty. And the Devas told me the news as well.
And that's one interesting point now. Long arguing with Ajahn Brahm about how other people were famous. And Ajahn Brahm was adamant that only Buddha could, for absolutely certain, affirm somebody's attainment.
Yeah.
So there was a point here that the Buddha was quoting, that one the Devas told me.
Yeah.
So one would the Buddha say that it would, their knowledge was unreliable.
Yeah.
So that the case is like when Aruda reads the mind of his companions and says, oh, I know that you guys have got such and such
attainments
and realizations. But I don't think the Venom still haven't been able to give the Ajahn Brahm. Not only the Buddha can ascertain other people's realizations.
Yeah. It's very hard to say.
How you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, like in that kind of case, the Devas may be like the Devas of the purer boats.
Mm.
I would imagine, possibly. But it's a bit. It is a bit obscure. Like, why? If it's just an ordinary Deva, like, why would they know that he's become an Arahant or something? You have to admit, it's a bit obscure. And all three versions have that bit in them. Yeah.
Also, it's a bit obscure that we've just been through the sixth thing.
No,
the
three
Buddha only mentions three.
He only mentions three, yeah. He's only got the three high knowledges, yeah. Okay, so that's the Vatagata Sutta. That's the culmination of Watcha's spiritual career.
The end of his appearances in the head.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
That's
right. What
have we learned from Vatagata? That persistence pays off. Like the woman with the judge and the Bible.
Okay, any more questions?
Did you give an in-depth explanation for the earlier sutras about Vatagata? And who he was and what he was up to?
Oh, you mean the last few weeks?
Yeah, from the
We talked a bit about it, yeah.
Who were his parents, you mean, and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, all that
stuff.
Mr. and Mrs. Watcher.
Remember, you pay and you watch it.
Was Mrs. Watcher got her fed up with her son's question?
Possibly. She was probably one of the mums who said, because God made it that way, and that's that.
Be quiet.
Don't bother me, God is the Buddha. I know because I'm a mother.
How old are
you? Dania.
after I guess the mind becomes powerful in meditation, do you make a determination or
you get on the roof and try and try again?
Yeah, well, look, it's a slightly obscure topic because it's something which is not really explained at all by the Buddha, in the suttas. Okay, he just talks about getting it. I mean, of course, it's explained in the sense that you need to get fourth jhana before giving rise to them. So, but in the suttas, it always just says that you get the fourth jhana and then you bend and incline your mind to the kind of knowledges. So it seems to be some kind of determination to do that. And so the it seems that in some cases those kinds of abilities arise spontaneously. Yeah, so maybe because of people's practice in their past life or something like that, and just through their meditation they suddenly begin to realize, say, the ability to say, know what other people are thinking or something like that, yeah? And now when that arises in that kind of way, it's not at all certain, okay? For some people it may be very clear, other people not, or maybe clear at other, sometimes and not at others, and so on and so forth. So the fact that somebody has some kind of ability like that certainly doesn't mean that it's perfected by any means. And it's probably, in fact, far more normal that people might have a certain degree of ability but still be quite fallible in those regards than it would be for people to have a really sort of clear and absolute knowledge of those things. So in other cases people, it seems, we sort of methodically set out to develop those different kinds of powers, yeah? And of course, say the psychic abilities was a classic thing in Indian culture, where you'd want to, that's why a lot of people did ascetic practices and so on, so they could be able to fly through the air or cross over the water and all those things. So the Buddha said, well, okay, I can teach you how to do that. So first of all, get fourth jhana. So it was more like just a kind of way of getting them to meditate rather than anything else. But so, for example, the developing the powers of the iddhis. So ability to fly through the air and so on. Now the way that's described in the Visuddhimagga is always, or often is in terms, for example, of developing kasinas. So for example, you might develop the fire kasina, and then that would give you certain kind of abilities relating to fire. Or you might develop, for example, the water kasina, and that means you can dive into space as if it's, so you can dive into the earth as if it's water. Yeah? Or you develop the earth kasina, and then you can make the water into earth and then walk on water. And so on and so forth. So it's developing a particular kind of meditation object gives you the ability to do those kinds of things. And so then I guess it's just a matter of practice after that. Yeah.
Well, if you tell some psychopaths back then, working in the queen camp, which
is
the month, and you had the little tiny people.
Yeah. Well, that's the story when the king and queen of Thailand came to visit Lumpu Chok, who was one of the classic forest monks. And Lumpu Chok, he did this kind of trick. He would serve the king and queen tea, but he had this trick where he had very small teapot and very large teacups. And keep on filling the cups. So that's his particular little trick.
Before he began
actually, at that time, yeah, look, I'm not sure. Yeah, whether you have to actually sort of quickly pop into a nice quick fourth jhana first and then pour the tea. could be. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I guess when you get to that stage, you'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah, pretty good samadhi, yeah.
Or the aeroplane?
Or just to get an idea of the character and of the
No, not always. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. Yeah, and they call in Thai they call them kruang len, which means playthings or toys.
They've been playing for a while.
Yeah.
For hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Alrighty. Okay.
Andavayam dhamma avadakataya sadhu karang dadama se sadhu.